Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jen, who's here to speak with us about the upcoming trip to Zambia. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Lakota. It's so great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being with us today. I'm always so excited to hear news about Zambia and the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. Everything about it just lights me up.
Me too. On both sides. Everything about it lights me up, and I can't wait to hear all the news. We get the news every week. We get, you know, Teresa, gosh, the team is so diligent in their communications with us. Mm. They send us photos every week. They do captions. You know, in between those, I'm getting, you know, sort of business emails from Teresa, from the teachers. But it's not the same as being on the ground.
Not the same as being on the ground. And, though, for all of us who can't be in Zambia, we can be right there following along, having that experience. It's just a win-win. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, and, you know, as you say that, Lakota, first of all, I hope one day everyone will be on the ground with us in Zambia. If anyone is ever considering it, you know, it's worth thinking about and planning ahead. But also, as you say that, what I realize is, when there's a group of us on the ground, we, in a sense, get to bring the whole Sangha more into it as well, because through the blogs, hopefully, people get to have at least a small sense of also getting to be on the ground in that way.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Folks over here get to have a sense of being on the ground in Zambia. And also, it's kind of, you know, as you're talking about that, I get that sense of, you know, there's just a small group of people going over to Zambia from our Sangha kind of over there. And yet, in another way, it's like all of Sangha is over there. Sangha to make this possible. And the all of Sangha is right there along.
Yeah, it's so true. It is so true. Yep, we're all packing our bags, literally or metaphorically. Yeah.
Some well, I'm so excited to go on this trip.
And some don't.
That's just great.
Yeah, so it's a really exciting time in the project. You know, I feel like, wow, I just can't wait to go. And I was realizing today, I had the same realization, I think, last year, because it's been a year since we've been on the ground. And last year, when we went this time, it had also been a year before that. And that has been unusual. It's now becoming usual. And that's extraordinary in itself. Because I was thinking back to when we first, well, you know, it took a while for life to land us actually in Cantalomba. So we started going to Africa, and life was kind of putting us in these different places, and then it was so clear that Cantalomba was the place for us to be. And once we really landed there and started the project there in earnest, we were traveling there up to 4 times a year. So isn't that amazing? I can't, thinking back on it, I'm like, I just can't imagine how we did that. I don't.
That's incredible.
You know,
really.
We were always either unpacking or packing.
and up to 4 times a year, and now once a year for the last couple of years. And that's kind of, you know, as you're describing that, I'm kind of getting the sense that this project's kind of taking on a life of its own. There's this self-sustaining kind of support going on here.
Exactly, exactly. I was talking to someone, a friend of mine actually, who is not, you know, directly a part of Sangha, but she was asking about the project, and I told her that, you know, we're really only going once a year, and she said, why are you going less? And we were having the conversation exactly what you're saying, which is that it's just amazing. The team just carries the project, and she just looked at me and said, wow, that's amazing, because that's what we're all going for. You know, I mean, in terms of how you want a project to be, that's a dream come true to really have the team over there be able to, you know, sustain it in the way that they are. And, of course, technology helps a lot. You know, we're able to be in, you know, much more reliable communication than, say, 10 years ago. So that's really of assistance as well.
Wow. Yeah, what a blessing to have that. The technology to live in these times where we're able to be that connected from far away. And then to have this project just kind of taking on a life of its own, to have the team in Cantalomba with so much motivation I project, enthusiasm, mm-hmm. buy-in. It's just, it's mm-hmm. kind of the best case scenario. It's everything you could ever hope for in a project like that.
Yeah, it really is. And we're really at the cusp of an exciting time right now. So this is the first year that we have students in grade 12. So we have the four girls who were in grade 11 last year in the girls program when the girls program really, you know, ramped up last year. We had four girls in grade 11, and they're now in grade 12. And that's such a big moment because what that means is, you know, at the end of this year, they're going to be taking the national standardized exams. And from there, they're, you know, they're adults. I mean, that's true everywhere in the world, but especially in Zambia, because a lot of folks are not on the traditional, you know, graduate from college, from high school and go to a four-year college kind of a track. It's more once you graduate from grade 12, you're now eligible, say, to go to nursing school for 2 years and become a nurse or, you know, to learn bricklaying and, you know, go that. So there are lots of different routes. So these four girls are such pioneers in terms of making that, turning that corner from being kids in the Living Compassion program to being adults who are going to be the first to set out and, you know, do whatever they do after grade 12, learn, you know, go whichever professional route they want to go, what skill do they want to learn, what job do they want to have, and then actually be able to have the means to sustain themselves and sustain a family. And I think what Teresa is so excited about is that's what we need. We need the community to see this is real. It's not other people. It's us. It can happen. So these girls are, you know, these are their sisters. These are their friends. They're, you know, cousins. They're, and it's like, God, if Sylvia can do it, then why can't I? I bet I can do it too. So it's just, it's a really, really exciting time right now in the project.
Wow. What an exciting, I got goosebumps as you're talking. It's just such an exciting time. As you're talking about that too, what was coming up for me was the word Sangha, that all of us, wherever we're at, just the importance of having people that we can look to those, those people that, you know, a few steps ahead of us along the way that we can look to and say, wow, you know, they, they're doing it. Watch, look at that. They can do it. You know, maybe I can do it. And then for this project, to have these girls at this pivotal point in their lives, to have this level of support available to them, it's just incredible.
It is, you know, and the thing, as you say that, the thing that's so extraordinary about it, I was looking at this also, is that it's this beautiful sort of dance of this is brand new territory. It's certainly brand new territory for us. You know, we've never had kids of this age in the program at this, you know, at this stage in their life. And these girls have, I mean, no one in their life has done this. They're the first. You know, no one in their family has done this. None of the other children before them have done this. So they truly are pioneers. So it's this sense of they're looking to us for support. We're looking to them for support. We're all together looking to life for support. And it's that, it's, you know, Ashwini uses that word calibration. It's that really beautiful time of all of us just paying really close attention and calibrating to where are we? You know, what's the next direction? How is this? What's supportive? What things do we want to be putting into place as we support these girls and all the other girls and boys coming right up behind them? You know, like Twai Bu, who people probably remember, he's been with us since he was itty-bitty. He's in grade 11.
Oh, my gosh.
Year, he's going to be, and he and a group of his buddies who are sort of, again, they're sort of pioneers on the boys' side, are going to be doing this next year. So it's just, it's amazing. It really is.
Oh, my gosh. It is so amazing. Yeah. Calibrating to life, just constantly tuning in. And what, you know, what's the next step? Not understanding any kind of conversations about it, but just looking to life. What's the next step? And now, and now, and now. And then as you were describing that, I was just going to that place of it's such a perfect example of just living in that space of I don't know. I don't know. What's going to happen? Every moment is infinite possibility, and we don't know. And it's just being so present, tune into life and taking that next step.
Yep, you calibrated right to it, Lakota. You're gonna smile when you read the monastery newsletter when it comes out. That's exactly what I wrote about. Just that, I won't give it away, but you know, just that sense, we're going over there with just arms wide open, hearts wide open, minds wide open, with just that big sense of lead us, life, because this is so fun, and we certainly don't know. And isn't that an exciting place to be?
Oh, the most exciting place to be. Yeah, and I just have that sense of, with that attitude of heart and mind of don't know, you know, life lead us, and just it's all coming from love, there's just no way to go wrong.
There really isn't. There truly isn't. Because in that, everything is held in nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what prompted what I wrote in the article, was just, you know, sort of getting a piece of news that felt like, well, gosh, that's not what I wanted to have happen. But then when we hold it in that nothing wrong, and we're all together, one big team, looking at it and knowing, okay, there's nothing wrong, what? And with that, I don't know, it's such an exhilarating place to be. And I think it's why, you know, this project is just so incredibly successful in such an organic kind of a way. And I think that's really why, is that all along, you know, every step of the way, as we go forward in the project, the guide is, you know, really captaining, maybe not getting to be there on the ground, but getting to hold that space for all of us of always looking at it from that place of, I don't know what now. I don't know what now. And it's such an amazing way it's an amazing way to go about anything. But, you know, I mean, I think what we're proving here is it can be applied to, you know, development work anywhere in the world. It's really, it's an incredibly successful way to go about it.
Yeah, an incredibly successful way to go about the project and anything else in life. And, yeah, like you said, we're just all so blessed to have that modeled for us by the guide and by this project and everything in this practice to see that that's what's possible. It's just, it's the best. And I can't believe we're already at the hour. It's been such a fun conversation. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we end?
Just, we'll do our very best to, as soon as we get our little feet on the ground and our fingers on our keyboards, we'll start, and on our cameras, we'll start sending blogs just as soon as we can. So that should be somewhere around late February, I'd say, the late 20s, like maybe February 25, 26, somewhere in there.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Well, I can't wait to visit the blog and be right there with folks on the ground in Zambia.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Lakota.
Thanks again, Jen, for being with us. And take care. Okay. Travel safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lakota, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. I know how much fun that was for you. I know you have it on your calendar, the day to start looking for those blogs, right?
How did you know that?
And you know, there, I wish that I could, you know, tapped in there and said, hey, you guys, stay for a minute, because, so I'll ask about this, and Jen, of course, will hear it, and then we'll talk and we'll report back. But I thought, you know, with these kids, education, I don't know how much people know about this, but boy, education in those places is a rugged, rocky deal. You know, we imagine it's sort of like, we go to school, right? And it isn't. It isn't anything like that at all. The last time I was over there, I don't know what it's like now, but there were kids who went to school for an hour a day. And and then they have these exams, and nobody passes them. They can't pass them. And so it just occurred to me in listening to Jen, wondering if we have tutoring set up for these kids, if we have a way to coach them so that they increase their chances of getting past those exams, because boy, when somebody does get past those exams, the doorways really open for them. And
I'll find out.
Okay. Yeah, I'll find out from her, and then we'll go from there. Because for these kids to struggle up out of the circumstances that they're born into, that if people have been following along, you know, you can sort of get a sense of it, but gosh, you know, when you look at those beautiful faces and those big grins, and you think, well, these kids are having a pretty nice life. And in one way, they are. And in another way, the odds against them, everything is so stacked against them that we cannot actually grasp it. Even being there, meeting them, being with them, it's not possible, for me anyway, to grasp what they're up against. And for them to make it this far in school, you know, Jen keeps trying to, you know, help us understand a little bit about how extraordinary it is, you know, and it's still really difficult for us to comprehend. And if so, to, yeah, to just everything we can for these kids to see that they are really rewarded and truly honored for this extraordinary thing they're doing. And again, and maybe Jen will get to talk to us again before before she takes off. But the thing that makes the most difference, the kind of our secret sauce, the secret weapon, is Teresa Capenda, who is watching these kids do what she dreamed of doing all of her life. To be able to have that kind of education, because I think she, you know, she in that day and time, I think she made it to seventh grade, and then, you know, she's a girl, and there are boys in the family. Boys go to school, she doesn't, and but her mother insisted, of course, that all the children read, and she's a voracious reader, and so she has great English, you would not know that she had a seventh grade education, a seventh grade Zambian education, which is nothing like a seventh grade education in the rest of the world. And so having her behind this and so committed to those kids having the kind of success that she always dreamed of for herself, it's what makes all the difference. So, and for you to know, Michael, for everybody to know,
yes.
I just got a text from Jen while we were talking. I can get my phone to turn back on here. I know it's on since you and I are talking. She said,
yes.
It's a huge part of what they're looking at on this trip is getting mentoring and what do you call it? I just said it.
Tutoring.
Yeah, tutoring.
Yes.
For these kids so that we really increase their chances of passing those tests.
Yes, and I can bring her back on if you wanted to have her on for a minute. There,
I would love it, actually. That would be great, yeah. Michael.
Okay.
Tell us in a little more detail about what they're going to be looking at.
Okay, Jen, you are now back on the air there. Jen, are you there?
Jen.
Sorry, I was double-muted.
Oh, there
we go. Crawling up out of that hole. So tell us a little bit about what you've got planned for folks.
Yeah, so that really is the piece I was looking at in terms of, you know, looking to the girls to find out from them, what do you need? And that part about them looking back at us, because we're all pioneers of this. That's the thing that's amazing. But absolutely, to what we realize is not only are these four girls who need to take their grade 12 exams, but there's such a deep investment in having these four girls, as I say, be able to be the beacon for the rest of the community. So what we're looking at is things like, as you know, Sherry, Charles is one of the teachers on the property, and that man is just the talent of him, his ability to teach. He's golden. He's had so many students who weren't even in school, period, and he's been able to bring them up to a grade level and have them pass those national standardized exams of some of the earlier grades, 7, 9, et cetera. So he's going to be one of the main folks we're going to be really talking to and relying on. And then even things like, you know, English is the big thing that they need, again, as you know. And so we're looking at how can we get them really surrounded by English. One of the things Teresa was talking about when Ashwini and I were recently talking with her is the difference between a child who goes home in a neighborhood called Kansanchi, which is a much more well-off neighborhood. Those kids go home and they're speaking English to their parents and they're surrounded by it and, you know, all the things we all know.
Mm.
And these kids aren't. Mm-hmm. And so looking at how can we get them much more surrounded by that, and, you know, it may be down the road, no big promises, but we do realize as technology gets better and better, there probably is going to be the opening for Sangha to play a part in that. And that could be really, mm-hmm. really fun. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the exploration is, and also to get those girls mentored by peers of theirs and have them be mentoring the younger girls. Because that we all know that's a really strong way to sort of up your own game is to be assisting someone else in bringing mm-hmm. you know bringing them along. Yeah.
Mhm. Well, that's an interesting one. So we can probably get them the. I think about here. You know, if you're going to take a big test, you can go online and get examples of the test, or you know, get the
yeah.
test from the last 5 years or something. And that's probably not possible over there. But the English,
we actually do have access to that. Yeah, we do.
Oh,
we do.
Oh, good. Good.
Yep. Charles,
yeah. But that English part, that's going to be the big part of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, we'll talk more about this, but about taking, you know, recorded language programs and that sort of thing for them to participate in. So,
All
right.
And
thank you, Jen. Say it again.
I was just saying, and recorders, you know, just recorders, because both the mentoring piece of, you know, using recording and listening, but also using it for language practice. So,
mm-hmm.
yep. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you, Jen.
Oh, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jen. That was fabulous. And Sherry, I was thinking what you were saying about in terms of those girls not really having a role model ahead of them. And the advantage that we have here in practice is that we have you and the monks, and so we can see what's possible as I practice with regards to practice. And that's a challenge if I don't have that, because I can't picture
mm-hmm.
what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. And you're kind of trying to get it from a book. People a long time ago, we were talking about that this morning a little bit in a slightly different way on the 9 o'clock call, the Project Joy call, and that image that one of the folks came up with of that wide path, and that so many people are walking that path together, and that's what Sangha is. And of course that's what Teresa and Jen as the primary people in Cantalumba, but that's what's being created there, is this ever-widening path of people who are walking toward a whole new possibility.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fabulous. It's fabulous.
Oh, it really is. It just brings tears to the eyes and a lump to the throat and excitement to the heart.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I have some announcements here.
All right.
The new Seasons of Joy retreat is a return to the early days when Sangha enthusiastically participated in creating and maintaining their place of practice. Join the monks in a joyous week of spring cleaning from March 21st through the 26th and have the valuable experience of being trained by the guide in the joy of wholehearted engagement with life unfolding.
Talk about fun.
Yes. And the Your Practice Retreat, April 8 through 15, is a chance to step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The retreat features individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week. And this retreat is a prerequisite for first-time visiting monks. Yes. And for a not-to-miss opportunity to do the courageous work of ending self-hate, sign up now for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. That's April 26th through May 3rd at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California.
This and
foundational,
my...
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
And can you imagine with the weather, the way it has been through this year so far, what that place is going to look like and feel like at that time of year? This isn't the most beautiful spring in the history of California. I'll be shocked.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and for those listeners who are not in California, Sherry, we've had a drought for many years, and now we've had a ton of rain. Yes, and everything is green.
We're getting what we asked for.
Yeah, in a big way.
In a big way. Yeah. Great.
And for these and other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is great. And we could probably handle a few more folks in the queue here. So I will put that out there as well, Sherry.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you ready?
Ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lynn.
This is who?
Lynn.
Almost got it. All right.
Hi.
I'm sorry, would you spell it?
Oh, Lynn.
Oh, Lynn. Okay,
yes.
Lynn, gotcha. Okay, all right. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I had a question about one of your books. I was reading the Fear book.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a paragraph here. It's a short one. I was wondering if you could explain. I can just read it real quick.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Okay. So... So a student was asking, for years I've had struggle speaking in front of groups, et cetera, et cetera. And the response was, generally when someone has trouble speaking, it's because there was some sort of trauma. Children tend to be naturally expressive until something stops them. So my guess is that there is a part of you that who is traumatized, and that's just covered over. So I was wondering if you could explain that last part, like how does one uncover that? We have just been stumbling on that word a lot, like trauma. So I'm wondering what you mean.
Or the stumbling on the word?
Trauma,
okay. All right.
Yeah,
so
what you mean.
I'm fond of saying, Lynn, that... child and abuse is redundant.
Right.
That the process of being socialized is an abusive process under the best of circumstances. And it's not that anybody wants it to be that way. I mean, it's traumatic for the most children of the most loving, caring parents. It's just really, really hard to go from a child's orientation to life to being somebody who can fit into a society. really difficult. And so that tends to be what happens with us as we're, oh, there was a most wonderful quote. I don't know whether it was a peace quote or the Project Joy, but freedom is what we do with what was done to us. That's the way it went. And so all children have gone through situations that were frightening, upsetting, alarming, you know, all of those kinds of things. And as children go through those situations, and we were, this is us, right? As we go through, then in our little child minds, we figure out what to do in order to survive, because that's job one for any creature, is to figure out how to survive. And the things that we put together to survive, in order to survive, aren't necessarily good choices, but it's the best we could do at the time. And then, so we go along. So maybe, you know, you came, I think, in the book. I can't remember if this is an example, but, you know, you come out of bed in your little pajamas and you walk out in the what is for you the middle of the night, and your parents are having a party, and everybody's had a few drinks, and it's pretty boisterous, and you're half asleep, and you say something, and everybody turns around and looks at you and laughs. Okay, now, from an adult perspective, we would say, oh, she's so adorable. You know, we're laughing with delight. She's so cute. But from your perspective, that is a very scary situation. You don't understand what's going on, and there's all of this attention, and people are laughing. And so that can be very upsetting. So, you know, now you're going to learn how to survive that. So you conclude whatever it is. Maybe you run crying back to your room, or maybe you, I don't know, I could think of a lot of other things that you could do, but let's just go with run crying back to your room. And people try to, perhaps they come to you and they try to reassure you and comfort you and that sort of thing, but it doesn't change what happened to you, because that reassurance and comfort is just more of coming from a world that you can't relate to, because you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what people are talking about. You don't know how they see the world that they live in. It's not how you see it as a little child. And so you know, you put your little life together and you go on, and then the next thing happens, and you have to survive that. And then the next thing happens, and and that's what growing up is a constant stream of things that you run into that you have to survive. And you make a decision, you reach a conclusion, you choose an action, and that's the process, you know, a very crude picture of the process of socialization. Then we get to be adults, and a lot of the things that we've concluded is there's something wrong with us, and, of course, now we have voices in our head that tell us how we should be and what's wrong with what we're doing and how we are and how we should be different. And that's often reinforced by other people around us who were socialized in different ways. And basically, we come to awareness practice, and now we get to start seeing through all of that, seeing it for what it is, not taking it personally, just realizing, oh, okay, well, that's what happened. All right, well, that was then. Okay, and it really doesn't have much to do with now. Does that speak to it?
Yeah. And the part where you said, and that's just covered over, is there like an uncovering?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. So in the fear book, one of the things that I like about the fear book is that it's a process. So you're encouraged. So is the speaking to people, is that an issue for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or is there another one that would be better for us to kind of break down?
No, that's a good one.
Okay, speaking to people. And you don't have to be up in front of a huge auditorium of people giving a speech. It could just be talking to somebody anywhere, right?
Yeah.
And so the way we approach it is, first of all, there's a growing understanding that the voices inside the head are not on your side. Are you at least suspicious of that at this point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so, good. So what we're learning primarily in awareness practice is to put that aside, right, which is easier said than done. But that's what we're doing. So you're in a workshop. You're in a personal growth awareness practice workshop because you want to see what happened to you about interacting with other human beings so that you can start being successful with this very necessary human endeavor, right? And so that's how you approach it. You're going to go up and you're going to interact with somebody, not to interact with them, not to have a successful interaction, not to any of those things that the voices in your head would tell you, but to watch what happens. Okay? So one of the first things you're going to see is, as soon as you decide that's what you're going to do, the voices in your head go crazy. Can't do that. They think this. They think they're going to want blah blah blah. And so we're saying, okay, I'm not attending to that. I'm going to stay with my breath. I'm looking at this person. They seem like a perfectly nice person. Maybe I'll just start out with, "Hi, how are you?" And they'll say whatever they say. Now, recording and listening is really good with this, right? So you record as you're going into it. Okay, I'm doing a little workshop here because I want to see what happens with me when I do this. And so you go in and you do whatever it is that you do. You come back out, you get your recorder, and you record what you saw. Wow, my stomach was in a knot and my heart is pounding and I completely forgot to breathe. I turned red and stumbled and stuttered. And then, you know, you say, well, that's okay. That's why we're doing this. If we were good at it, we'd be practicing something else. Okay, and then you find your next person. And you keep doing that until what happens is all of that stuff goes away because you're not living in that story any longer. You're practicing another Louisa May Alcott quote that I may or may not get right, but the one about I'm not afraid, I'm learning to sail my ship. And that's what we're doing. So you're learning to get past whatever happened to you so that you can take your life out of that small child reacting to grown-up adult woman responding and interacting with other people in the world.
Okay, so it's not about, like, trying to figure out what was the trauma and that sort of thing.
No, we don't care.
Okay.
Because there are so many of them. As I say, there are just so many. You know, sometimes we can remember for ourselves a little bit of what it was like to see the world from a child's perspective, but, it's just so far behind us and so covered over, and the voices have taken it, and we watch people projecting onto children that children know stuff that they couldn't possibly know. And if they did know it, wouldn't understand it. And the way egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate rears children is primarily, unless, you know, you're very, very, very lucky, you hear what you did wrong. There's very little coaching, mentoring, tutoring about how to do things so that you can be successful and praised for doing it and an openness that enables you to ask any question of an adult so that you can receive guidance and clarity. You know, instead it's impatience and shaming and, it's a terrible thing.
What
and again,
I'm not blaming
parents because it happened to all of us. We've all done it. It's how it is. What are you saying, Lynn?
No, you said what people project onto children. What do you mean?
Well, people project that children are seeing the same world the adults are seeing.
Oh, I see.
And they're not. They have no idea about 90% of what adults think and see and assume and do.
I see, yeah.
They just don't have the information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, and that's not hard to understand because we're all projecting onto one another all the time. there's this giant, even though we would all say, okay, I know you don't live in the same world I do. I mean, it's obvious. You're somewhere and I'm somewhere else. Okay, it's obvious. But, you know, we're still seeing the same reality. We're still having, no, we're not. No, it's not even close. How we're doing it is the same. But what's happening can be very varied. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you got a little project now, workshop to go on. Very good.
Thank you.
And now I always ask people, please come back and give me a report on how you're doing with it. Okay, what you're seeing. So because that's how practice works, right? We get started on something and then we talk about what we're seeing and then the conversation opens up new areas for us and we explore those and we see what's there and it's what we wish had happened to us in childhood, but didn't.
Right.
So now we get to do it as adults.
Okay. And thanks so much for your books, too.
Oh, most welcome. My pleasure. Thank you, Lynn.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lynn. Sherry, that was a great conversation. I really appreciated
that.
Courage of the caller, and I really appreciated how you laid out the sort of step-by-step to get from A to B, as all of us are trying to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And it's a lot, isn't it? That's the other part that we
yes.
very rarely get mirrored back for us, is that it's a lot. It really is. It takes a lot of courage, a lot of patience, and as we're always saying, that's why we do it together.
Yes.
Because trying to accomplish this on one's own, oh no, that's way too arduous and probably unlikely to be successful. But together,
yes.
we can accomplish a lot in a short amount of time.
Yes, yes, we can. With so many fabulous role models, it's great.
Mhm. Mhm.
And speaking of role models, we are going to hear from our Zen coaching program, Sherry, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Availing ourselves of all the support we can as we undertake Project Joy is both wise and kind. Zen Awareness Coaching is just such a support. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we practice with any life content to see how we are caused to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen Awareness coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery through regular donations. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit livingcompassion.org. Click on Participate to find Zen Awareness Coaching. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
Welcome back to Open Air, Sherry, and we have another caller here.
Michael?
Yes, are you there, Sherry?
This is Jen. I think you may have unmuted me and not Sherry.
Oops. Let's try that again.
I am.
There we are. Thank you, Jen. Very helpful. And there, Sherry.
she could have taken the rest of this and done a beautiful job, but we'll let her rest.
Yes, and clearly she was paying attention, so that is just
That's right.
fabulous. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get to this next caller. Next caller.
Hi, this is. Hello.
We have a big echo. Are you on a phone or a computer?
I'll take the speakerphone off my computer. Is that better?
Way better.
Hello.
Oh, no.
Hello.
It's still a delayed echo.
Michael,
any suggestions for us?
Do you have both the computer going as well as the phone, Marianne?
I wonder if this will work better.
So far, so good.
Now.
Yes. Much better. Thank you.
Okay. Well, hello, Sherry and Michael.
Hello.
This is Marianne in West Vancouver in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And
how are you doing?
Good. Really good. I'm really enjoying Project Joy.
Uh-huh. Me too.
And the reason that I wanted to call in was because one of the callers on the Project Joy phoned in and said she had had a kind of a revelation about recording and listening when she went back and listened to a couple of programs from 2012. So I got curious, and I went and listened to them.
Hmm.
And what I kind of think is that I think that conditioning has got my recording and listening practice in its grasp, I guess. And
in its
so
imaginary little fingers.
I kind of think that it goes some story like, oh, you're doing really well. You know, you probably don't need to listen to your recording. So I think there's a couple of things there. One is the you're doing pretty well. And
which doesn't actually have that mentor feel to it, does it?
And the other part is you don't have to listen. So
yeah.
Now I know I have to listen. But what I heard on one of these programs was that when you listen you are to your recordings, what you're doing is listening for the process. So I wondered if you could just talk a little bit about how you do that.
Yes, and before I do, would you give those dates? And I'm hoping somebody will jot them down so that we can bring those up. Either maybe they're already on the recording and listening website. I don't know.
I can tell
not,
you.
Okay.
October the 16th, 2012, and November the 6th, 2012.
Okay, great. Thank you. So what, and I suspect this is why the devious little voice doesn't want you to listen, because when we're listening inside our heads, a lot of stuff goes by unnoticed. And of course, in workshops and retreats and conversations like this, when people say the kind of thing that they hear in their heads and it gets reflected back, very often that's the first time a person can really hear what those voices are doing, what they're saying. Because when they say it inside the head, and I'm used to listening to it, it just sounds normal. It doesn't sound particularly mean or devious or cruel or any of those kinds of things. It just sounds normal, right? So when we're listening, the same to our recordings, the same thing happens. And people start getting a sense, as it sounds like you're closing in on, that everything that's being said is not coming from the heart or the mentor. That in fact, that other system, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, might actually have hold of the recorder quite a bit of the time. Which means, of course, that what we're doing is saying and listening to and reinforcing that system, that those beliefs, those conditioned beliefs. So when you start listening to your recordings, before long, really, it's not after a while, it's before long, you start thinking, you know, that didn't really sound very centered. Or it's the, that doesn't sound like something the mentor would say. Right? And now we're starting to hear a whole different level of, those voices have learned the lingo of practice. And now they're using the lingo of practice. Like, you know, you're really doing very well. You know, you're doing great. You don't really need to listen. And inside the head, that sounds supportive and kind. But when we hear it out loud, we think, that doesn't exactly sound like the mentor would say that. Right? And you're starting now to fine-tune the voices in the head and who you're listening to, the kinds of things that they're saying. Very helpful. That's one part of it. Okay, the other part I would say about listening is you want to listen to her. All of our lives we have not been listened to. Okay? We haven't been listened to by other people, which was upsetting to most folks. But the really important thing is we've learned not to listen to ourselves. And that we must stop doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're all she's got.
Right.
And if you don't want to hear her, you don't want to listen to her, then she got nobody.
Yeah, I feel I am having mixed feelings at the moment that, I've done all this recording and it was just your horse pucky stuff. And feeling...
Probably not. Probably not. There's probably a ton of good stuff in there.
What it is? It's feeling caught. Discovering I've been caught by conditioning. That I've been...
Bamboozled.
Bamboozled. That is a very good word. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in my experience, that's what awareness practice is. So we got to get used to seeing that as a great success. Because if you're seeing you were bamboozled, that means you're no longer being bamboozled. That means you win.
Right.
But if we get trained to feel bad about seeing what conditioning has done to us, then we're going to collude with it to hide. And we're going to be happy not to have that awareness. Because I don't want to feel bad. So I just won't get it that that's been happening. No. That's been happening.
I feel so glad that I phoned in because I think that if I hadn't, I might still be caught.
Bamboozled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And Marianne, that's what's so beautiful about what you're describing, right? So it caught you. Which, again, you know, if we think that all of the math classes up to advanced calculus are kind of a waste of time, we really don't understand learning.
Right.
Right? And so awareness practice is the same way. We're learning to be aware. We're learning to see through all of this stuff that happened to us. That's what we're doing. That's the good stuff. Right? And so there you are, step by step by step by step, down the path, seeing all of this stuff. And every time you see what it has caught you in, you know, just yell, gotcha, and grab that recorder and report on it. Wow. Okay. I can see that what I was believing was, and the story I was listening to, and that goes... And you can feel the excitement of discovery rather than what it would do to you, which is, now it comes in at that point and says, you know, how long have you been doing this? And you've been doing it wrong. You've been fooled the whole time. Oh, my God. Next thing it's going to come up with is, why don't you just quit? Because this has been a waste of time. No, you are right on track.
Yeah, I think that ego really likes to hear how well it's doing, you know.
Oh!
It likes that self
Well, because that way you'll quit looking.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're doing really well, then good. Let's, you know, get that pizza and beer and turn on that tube and let's relax. Yeah. And so you are doing really well. That means you can pick up the pace.
Yes.
You see, you can take on bigger challenges. Right, because you're doing really well. So it's the same language. It's just, where does it come from?
Right.
Is it ego trying to put you to sleep? Or is it the heart, kind of whispering, great job.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the archives. Thank you for the guidance today. And thanks to Anna for, sharing how it worked for her to look at those archives.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you for calling in. And thank you for doing the practice. Thank you for laying it out there so that the rest of us, because there are a lot of people who haven't yet had the experience that you're describing. There are a lot of people who have. And for those who haven't, it's a real heads up. So if you're being talked into not listening, this is not an accident, right? This is a con. And for people who have been doing this for a while and have seen that place in their own practice, it's a heck of a good reminder. Because we're none of us immune.
Right. Thanks so much, Sherry and Michael.
You are so welcome. Good to hear from you. Take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Marianne. Yes, Sherry, that was a great reminder for me as well. Very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole idea, resting on our laurels, those kinds of things don't become cliches for no reason, right? And
yes.
Actually, when we're seeing a lot and we're having these kind of breakthroughs and the clarity is there and it's exciting, that's the time really to say, all right, so what now, life? What now? I don't take on the next challenge because I want more of this energy.
Yes, and I think you and Ashwini and the monks do a great job of always putting out there the next thing for us to focus on, and so conditioning doesn't have a chance to rest on its laurels for too long because there's another practice opportunity coming up to attend to.
Right. No, and I say that to Ashwini all the time, and I'm sure I've said it on here any number of times, that I just keep thinking, haven't we actually done everything that there is to do? Really? I mean, what? And mostly Ashwini, let's face it, comes up with, she'll say, what just dropped in? And I think, okay, we got another year covered.
Yeah, that's
good. That's good. And everybody just jumps right in with, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. And that trail, that path that we were talking about this morning, it just gets wider and wider, more people joining, and it's so exciting.
Yes, and it feels like that's what the training is when something's offered, whether ego likes it or not. My job really is to say yes and be as open-minded as I can and have my own experience and jump in.
Yes, yeah. And as Marianne just did, talk about it so that we have a chance to, because that, when ego doesn't like something, that's a good thing to talk about in the sense of this is I run into resistance. This is how I get past it. This is what I'm doing instead. And I'm being told I'm doing a great job. I don't need to listen. Okay. Listening is what I need to do.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And we have time for at least one more caller here, Sherry.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Gracious goodness.
Okay. Goodness gracious, I wonder if we're having technology problems here. Okay, I'm going to mute that caller there. And third time is the charm. Let's see.
Yeah, we hope so. Otherwise, we're going to suspect it's us, huh?
Next
caller.
Hi, Michael. Caller.
Hi, Sherry.
Oh,
there she is.
It's Christina from Southern California. Hello.
Well, hello.
You know, I was on last week, so I just got in the queue because that's what I do, but I'm happy to cede the floor to anybody else who might be in the queue.
All right. Well, do you have anything to tell us about, or would you really kind of prefer that we went on to somebody else?
No, I'm always happy to discuss practice.
Okay, then you're third time. You're the charm. We're going with you.
Yes. Well, something that came up for me on this call, you know, an insight that I had, a recording and listening bamboozle that I fell for actually today that I wouldn't have seen unless I was listening to this call, was that I was really touched by the Jean-Paul Sartre quote yesterday from the Year of Joy, and I just made this really long recording this morning about it, and then what I got told, and I didn't see that I was being told it, but what I got told was I really shouldn't listen to that because it was so long, I probably was just going on, and I was identified.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, talk about, you know, reversing it on me, you know, and using the language of practice like you were discussing before of, you know, I must be identified, you know, so don't you dare listen. It's going to ruin
right.
it.
Just assume that I'm right. I'm sure you were identified. So the best thing would be just to delete it now so nobody ever has to know how identified you were.
Exactly. And luckily I didn't do that, and it's still there, and I can still listen today. And so I'm just really grateful for that, for this call. I got to see that.
Yeah. And so the quote, remind us, which I know I referred to a minute ago, but I don't think I attributed it to him. So it was, which one?
Jean-Paul Sartre. Yeah.
Which quote? Can you remember now?
Oh, yes. I can remember the quote. Yes, it was. It was. Oh gosh, now I'm on the spot. Let's see.
Freedom.
Freedom is what you do, what you do with what's
freedom
been
is what
to
you do with what was done to you. I wasn't sure I got it right, but there's two of us confirming it. And so you were really lit up by that.
Mm-hmm. Right?
The odds that you went into identification are fairly small, given that you picked up the recorder because you were lit up by the clarity, the insight that came to you from that quote.
Yeah, exactly so, Sherry. And, you know, yesterday I was lit up by it, and every time I went to pick up the recorder, I got talked out of it. And that's why I recorded this morning, because it was, and I wasn't conscious I was being talked out of it. I just didn't do it. And I know that I intended to do it. And so this morning I was like, oh, yes, I've got time. I get to talk about the quote. I've got so much I was looking at. And, you know, then I got to do it, and then it got taken from me again. Don't listen to that.
And it's such a perfect example of what we were talking about with Marianne, right? So, again, when you catch on to it, the voices would want to say, I can't believe you fell for that. You know, you were really caught by those voices. I mean, there you were intending to record and listen, and you didn't do it all day long. What's the matter with you? But if we realize that, aha, I saw it. That's the point. Not going into a conversation about how it did that to me or what's wrong with me that I fell for. We're staying right here with, I saw that.
Yes. And I think I was there because, yet. but I think that that I was there because I just it was second nature to just make the recording this morning when I had the opportunity. So even though, you know, I was getting talked out of it and, you know, whatever, I moved on from it. And that's the change for me, because and that comes just with practicing, you know, every day over and over and over again, because I might not have come up so fast.
You know? Yes, exactly. And that's the point of celebration, right? That whole process, seeing that I got talked out of it, seeing that I in the past, I would have fallen for, so that's over. Okay, well, you blew that one.
Yes.
Could have, but you didn't, so say goodbye. And instead, you just see all of that. There's the recorder. Got it. Here I am.
Yeah.
Right? That's the celebration.
Yeah, and then we get back in that, on that wide path, holding Sangha's hand, and then Sangha leads me right to the next place to see where I got bamboozled, and then now I get to choose to listen to that recording that I made.
Yeah,
it's so great.
And love it, because I don't know about you, and I don't know about anybody else on this, you know, listening to us here, but for me, the thing that I love about recordings, I don't ever actually... I don't think I've ever had the experience of listening to a recording and being as lit up as I was when I made the recording. Mm-hmm. But what I love is listening to how lit up that person is. That's what lights me up.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do, you know, with what she was lit up about. It's just she was so lit up. And and it just brings such joy to listen to that person be so happy about that insight.
Yes, and the other thing that has done for me is, yes, I get excited sometimes just listening to her, and I feel so much love for her enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And then I also see sometimes self-hate come in and say, oh, my gosh, what's she going on and on about? Why was she, you know, like the whole, you know, I get to experience the joy of it again, even though I'm not, like you said, in that exact place. I'm just touched by it. Or I get identified with this voice criticizing her and judging her. And so that of course is helpful to see too, that's something that plays a big role in my life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause you see it. And that again is the joy of practice. For a long time in practice, people stumble over that. You know, you just get stuck in it and believe it and feel bad and whatever until, you know, something brings us back into the moment. But then we get to that place in practice where we're paying attention and we watch that voice come in and we know what it is. We recognize it and we don't believe it. We don't buy into it. And then it's really revealed for what it is. And that's a whole different level of freedom.
Mm. Yeah, and that's the path we're on, isn't it? The path to freedom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
I could
as
just say,
Jean-Paul... Oh, go ahead.
No, you please go.
Well, it's just quickly that the beauty of this, connecting that up together, is that the material we get to work with is what's happened to us. So instead of feeling bad about that and listening to those voices about that and that truth and this and besides your mother this and your father that and you know, that becomes the stuff that we get to work with to make our way to freedom.
Yeah, and that was part of the lit up space I was in. Like, now I can't wait to listen to that recording.
I know. I wish I could hear it.
Right. And so the last thing I was going to say was thank you for that, the morning opportunity that we have. And one of the things that I'm doing with it is not every day, but many days, I share the quote with my children in the morning. And they're young, one's 6 and the other one's 10. But they get it, you know. And then so we've had the opportunity to talk about judgment. we've had the opportunity to talk about things that we might not otherwise be talking about in the morning, and just to have a little fun with it. Sometimes it goes in one of their ears and out the other, and you know, but it doesn't matter. That's not the point. They get to see what I'm so excited about and what I'm looking at, and you know, they can choose if you know it means something to them or not. And I'm
well,
just so grateful
for
that.
Well, they're learning a process, Christina. That's what's so beautiful about it, right? They are seeing that what it means to be an adult is that you're looking at things and you're being excited about awareness and what things mean and how to look at things and how to be curious and explore things and all of that. And they're seeing you process in that way. Instead of what most kids get, which is do this, do that, don't do that, don't do that, stop it, and have no idea what the interior world is of an adult because all they see is a bunch of orders coming. But you're showing them what it means to be, dare I say, if not at the risk of embarrassing you, an aware, intelligent human being being in the world.
Yeah, that's
I mean, I think that is absolutely the greatest gift we can give our children, right there.
Yeah.
Don't worry so much about who they are and what they're doing, and that let them see awareness and intelligence and curiosity and kindness, interest in action, and they'll know that that's what they're meant to grow up and be.
That's so beautiful. Yes. And I do my fair share of ordering them around and doing all that.
Too. Oh, yes, of course. So.
But because of practice, I get to balance it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they do need guidance. You know, they're not yet equipped, so we don't have to feel too bad about that. They're not ready to be in charge yet, although they think they are.
Yeah. Right. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Christina.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Christina and Sherry. I have a new topic for dinner conversation with the kids tonight then, don't I?
Yes. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
And now your boys are how old at this point?
I have 11 and 9.
11 and 9?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're gonna have some insights.
Yeah,
they are.
Sure.
And how fabulous to hear what they are. Huh?
Yes. Yeah, it's just a brilliant idea. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. It was a fabulous show. I loved it.
Me too. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Talk to you next week.
All right.
Thanks, Sherry.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.